Blog Talk Radio.
One more time, just to learn from your word, just to rest in your peace.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the smiles, the joy that you're putting on our faces and our hearts. Excuse me, Jesus, in our minds. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving us for our sins. Thank you for your mighty arm that wraps around us in protection. I thank you for our jobs. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our families, dear Father. Hallelujah. Someone may not be seeing eye to eye, but thank you, God, we still have an opportunity to just talk it out, soften our heart, let mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, sisters and brothers, just touch their hearts, Jesus. Reveal to them your love. Show them the love that you have for them. Oh, dear Father, in your word, I ask you to speak to each and every situation, dear Father. Dear Father, may I just move out of the way and use me as a vessel to deliver your word, deliver healing. Your word has the powerful touch, dear Father. Just one touch and everything changes about our lives. And we come yearning, dear Father. We come panting. We come, dear Father, because we need your love. We need your power. We need your strength. We need your understanding, dear Father. Oh, dear Father, in the midst of our needs, we say we rescue. We throw up our hands and we surrender for all situations in our lives that we have been trying to handle. All plans that we have tried to set forth and follow through. Oh, dear Father, we've worked hard, dear Father, but there we forgot about Jeremiah said that you have plans for us. You know the plans that you have for us. It may not be our plans. The plans that we have got for ourselves, dear Father, the enemy has turned it around and we've worked and turned ourselves around in the wrong direction. And he tries to put things in front of us to make us think that we're going on the right path. But you said if we seek you first in your righteousness, that your word would be a light to our footsteps. And we just want to follow in your footsteps today. We follow you, Jesus. We follow you with our heart. A body, a mind, and a spirit, we follow you wholeheartedly. Again, dear Father, we love you. We yearn for your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to bless all of the ones that are in need, whatever the needs are. We thank you that you said that we can bring all of those needs to you. We can bring them all to the cross. We can bring them where you laid down your life, and you will pick up our needs, dear Father. As long as we just leave them there with you. May we leave them there with you and get up and continue to walk on your journey, doing goodness, doing greatness for the kingdom, telling someone that Jesus is the one and only way. Bless all families in bereavement right now, all the ones on the sick list and the prayer list, and we just ask your blessings. Stretch out your hands towards the ones that are in the hospital, the ones that are lonely, dear Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Giving you all glory, all praise, all honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show for Tri-Anointed Ministries. Again, it is I, Evangelist Vaughn, and we come just praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you today, sister? Hallelujah. I know that he has. I know that he has. I know that he has. God bless. God bless. Anytime that you want to say something, want to jump in, feel free. When you call into the show, this is your show. Call in. Let's just rejoice together. Again, that call-in number is 646-652-4916. You're more than welcome at any time to call in. I do remind you all on next, not this Friday, but next Friday, we will be having special guests. We're going to have different ones to call in with different special praise reports. It's going to be an awesome good time. So it is going to be a little earlier show so we can try to get everyone in. So make sure that you look, check that out on our announcement page, okay? God bless, God bless. All right, well, today is going to be day 5 of the Bible, God's scrapbook. This is the 30-day new believer study. Again, it is day 5. We did not do the, on the weekend, we do not do the Bible study for other obligations, but we're ready to pick it right back up where we were, pick it right back up. And we're going to start with our scripture today. In our scripture, we're going to be in 1 Peter today. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is going to be chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 13. Again, 1 Peter is in the New Testament. And we're going towards the back. And once you find the book of James, if you continue to go right, you run into 1 Peter. It's right next door to the book of James. Hebrew, James, 1 Peter. All right, well, we're moving forward. Again, it's chapter 1, verse 13. Read, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Verse 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, that was chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 13 through 16. It said, be holy because I am holy. It also tells us to be holy in all that we do. Why? Because it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's the word that we need to take with us today. That's the word that we may have to check ourselves and do that self-examination as we're supposed to do it daily. We can't afford, this flesh can't afford to miss a day without doing a self-examination of the flesh, of yourself. Check yourself. Ask yourself, did I deny my flesh today? Did I take up my cross and follow God today? Was I holy in all the things that I did today? Was I holy in even the things that people may have done me wrong? Did I stay holy? Did I stay holy in all of my ways? Did I allow myself to become unholy because of some of the things that may have happened to me or words that may have been said to me? It tells us, remind us that as obedient children, sometimes we call ourselves children of God, but we forget that we are supposed to be obedient to God. Obedient children, do not conform to evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. Because before we came, we were all born into sin. All born into sin. And before we came to realize whose we are, who God is in our life, we lived in a state of ignorance. Amen? So he says that now that we are new creatures of Christ, we should not live the same way. Is that understandable? We should not still live the same way. We should not still want to do the same things that we wanted to do. And as we are babes in Christ and start to move out and we're still trying to grow in Christ and get to know Christ, some of the times we get confused and we're not for sure of where we're supposed to dwell, what we're supposed to do. And that's why when you're uncovered and you're not under leadership, if you're not with the saints of God or with the ones that you see that are actually going in the right direction with the Lord,
then it's easy for you to just go back to doing the things that you always have known to do. And that is one of the things that the enemy uses to go ahead and get you back off track from where you started from. So I thank God for his word. I thank God for his power. And I just remind someone to be holy. Take the time out. Work at being holy. It's not going to be a given thing. You have to work at being holy. Just as when we wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit, he touches us. God sees fit to wake us up, and we are able to get up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But do you know that you have to do something? You have to dress yourself. You have to close yourself. You have to get yourself up. Most of us, we have to drive ourselves. Or if we're even letting someone else drive us, we do have to do the part to go out to the vehicle to get in, whether it's whatever form of transportation it is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it is something that we have to do. We have to work to be holy. We have to make sure that we are looking at the full grace that God has given to us, and we have to use it and put and prepare our minds with it. Prepare our minds for action. Be self-controlled. Because we know that we're in a battle. This is a battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So set our hopes fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Because he will reveal himself to you in all situations. Whether you're sick, whether you're shut in, whether you're depressed, whether you're stuck in a job situation, whatever it is. He said he will reveal himself to you. So we prepare, always be looking for a miracle, looking for God to touch, looking for God's favor on our life. Hallelujah. Don't get consumed of what you see that's happening in the world and the way that they tell you that you have to do it. You have to do this here to get to the next step. We don't start big arguments and we don't go out and but we live our lives accordingly to the good news. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, it says it's the good news. So we live our lives accordingly to the good news. The good news. And that brings us to our topic today. As we, again, we talk about the 30-day Bible study. And day 5, the Bible itself. Again, Isaiah tells us that God has called us to preach the good news. So that's why you shouldn't run around and condemn people about how you're going to hell and you're not going to do this and you're going to do this and if you're not with God, because it's not scaring somebody into God. You can't chase somebody into heaven. You can't chase anyone into heaven. It is actually God revealing himself. God revealing himself. It's what gets you. See, the goodness of God, when it's revealed, that leads a man to Christ. It's not the wrath of God, but it's the goodness of God that leads a man to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to make sure that we remember that it's the good news. We shouldn't be preaching that. Of course, we know that the answers for our unsaved soul, we know the answers to it. But if you want to touch and if you want to draw someone to God, just bring out the good news, not only your testimony, but in their lives. Just put it out there and give them an opportunity to look at what God has done in their lives, how he has blessed in their lives, the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It builds up self-esteem, God's Bible. It gives you self-respect, God's word. It gives you self-control, God's word. Hallelujah. So we want to make sure that we're doing our part, that we don't let someone lose their purpose while going through their pain. You know, it's a lot of times that people are going through pain of all different sorts. And they get wrapped up in the pain and they lose the purpose. for which they're here, the purpose for why they were traveling on this road to start with, the purpose. Hallelujah. And so at this day and time, we live in a day and time that you really, if you want the Lord, if you want to seek, hallelujah, time is winding up. So he's calling people from all walks of life to spread the good news for those who want to hear. He said, seek me while you can yet find me. And those who seek me will find me. He's not hiding. He's waiting for you. Invite him into your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I figured out that sometimes there's some small things that the enemy tries to separate you with. A young lady was telling me today, she said, it's just that I try to read my word, but I can't never actually find where do I start, what pertains to me, even if it's good times going on. What in the world, where do I go to get some of the goodness out of the word to put inside of me? In bad times, where do I go to get some word that lifts me up? And it just lets me know that it's, you know, a babe, you need to, you've got to study. You've got to ask God to reveal to you. You've got to stay under some type of leadership. You can't get out there naked and expect to grow. Expect for everything to just come to you. Hallelujah. But like I told her, everything happens for a reason. Just speaking to me today, what an opportunity. Now she gets an opportunity for me to do something about it. Not just say, sister, I'm going to pray for you, but make sure that we pray then. And I'm going to make sure that I get some scriptures that God wants me to give to her after I'm in prayer with him, when I come out of my prayer closet, to give her what he wants her to start with. And as long as she seek him, you can believe she will find him. That's the same for you, and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's scrapbook, it's like the Bible becomes even more alive when we realize that it's God's scrapbook. It's not our scrapbook. It's not man, you know, because the word was inspired. You know, people get hooked up and say, well, you know, this was different things, and I don't like King James because he did this, and how do I know that? But you know what? Ask God to reveal to you any questions that you have, because you're wasting your time. You're wasting precious moments with the Lord while you're sitting up doubting the word. If it's something you don't understand, don't ask other men. Don't go around here starting arguments with people about it. Go on your knees. Go on your knees and ask God, God, this is your word. Hallelujah. Come and reveal to me. Show me how it is that this can be. We get wrapped up on how things are here on earth. And we say, well, it's impossible. How could that be? So many people say, well, you know, I just think that it's just a bunch of good stories. Just for weak people. Just lift up a weak person's mind. Just a bunch of good stories. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered if God's word is any more than a bunch of good stories? Yet the Bible becomes even more alive when we realize that it's God's scrapbook. Paging through it, you learn more about Jesus himself, about God, with every page that you turn. See, it overflows with collages of pictures, stories. You can just picture things in your mind as you're reading through. Hallelujah. What do you think of all the controversy it is? This is still the number one best-selling book. Hallelujah. People buy it for all kind of reasons. They buy it because they don't believe it until they read it. How many testimonies have you heard about that? I bought it because I wanted to prove them wrong. Hallelujah. And they got in and the Holy Spirit revealed himself to them. You get to picture different things. You get to, when you're reading through the pages, over and over, you get the stories, the poems, and they start relating to your life. You start understanding, yes, this is the same thing going on in my life. I saw this go on in my coworker's life. Hallelujah. When you're down, you get to look and see some of the most beautiful poems. It's right here in the Bible, right here in the book. The letters that was written by Paul and different disciples. Letters. Hallelujah, all right here in the Bible. You discover a piece of music that David himself wrote just for Jesus. Hallelujah. And the prayer that God received from Job. These are the things that you read right here in the Bible. And some of the things that's just been on our hearts for this last series here is just the letters itself. Just like Job just began to write, doing his struggling, doing his suffering, just began to write. Some of the things that you have going on inside of you, you just need to write it, just to put it down. That word has been so strong on my heart. For anybody who receives it, just write it. Get it out of you. Just write it. Hallelujah. In a story, in a poem, in a story, in a letter, you're angry at somebody, instead of getting on the phone telling them off, take out some time and write your thoughts down. Get in your prayer closet and pray just like you would normally do. Then get up the next day and read that letter. Hallelujah. See if that's still what you would like to say. Most of the time, depending on where your relationship with Christ is, you will be ashamed of some of the things that was going in your mind right then that you was thinking about at that time. Hallelujah. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can take your anger and just put a D in front of it, the danger that you will be in. He doesn't tell you when he gets you all upset, like in the book of Judges, how he had the people just hiding in caves. I think it's chapter 6 of Judges. He didn't tell you that when you first started out on this road of destruction, that at the end of this road, I'm going to have you so messed up that nobody's going to be speaking to you. I'm going to have you so messed up that you're going to be running from the police. I'm going to have you so messed up that that one hit is going to turn you into a crackhead. That one drink, you will spend 7 and 20 years trying to get it out of your system just for that one drink. But he don't tell you that at the beginning. He says, have a cocktail. He doesn't tell you that laying up with that woman's husband that you're going to spend the remainder of your time trying to get medicines to get the disease out of you just from that few moments of pleasure. So you hide in a cave. You hide from your shame. And you hide because no one else understands your situation. But we have a word for you. God says, I know this. All of those stories, all of those situations is still going on right today. And where are they at? God has showed you those examples to let you know you're not the only one going through. You're not the first. You won't be the last. So all the different stories, as we take a glimpse into God's Bible, you glimpse a snapshot of God's face. As he himself watched his son die, watched his son give his life for us. What makes the Bible a unique scrapbook? Is it the fact that it doesn't just commemorate the past? But when you get in it, you understand that it also provides guidance for today. It gives you hope for your tomorrow. You can be depressed as all, however, about whatever situation. And if you can choose to lay down and turn and toss, or you can choose to give it over to God. And at least when you lay there, you know it's for God. God, just let me sleep. Close my eyes and give me rest because I have it with you. And I'm not going to keep trying to pull it back up. Even though the enemy tries to put it back in my mind, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to give it to you. I have hope for my tomorrow. That's one of the favors that we have. So you can find your name. You can find your face in this Bible. On every page, when you read it in the book of Esther, and you go into how Esther was just a poor girl, how Esther and her whole family were struggling for their lives, how they got lied on and was mistreated. Yeah. Put your name in there. If that's your story, if that's what you're going through right now, Put your name in there. And then go ahead and skip and look at the future. Look at the future, how God turned that situation around. Hallelujah. Made her enemies her footstool. Hallelujah. Some of them even had to give their lives because of the way that they had treated her. Hallelujah. She became the queen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is in the Word. God wants to inspire you. God is choosing to give you hope for tomorrow. Don't get caught up in your self-pity that you don't want to come and accept it. It's here for you. God wants you to see that you cannot afford to lose your purpose on your road to prosperity. What you're trying to give up today, God has something waiting on you. God has something there for you. Keep going in the right direction. Walk towards it. You say, well, sister, when is it going to come? Where is it at? Well, let me start by telling you where it's not at. It's not sitting right at your footstep waiting on you. It's not going to come and knock on the door for you. Whatever it is that you need from the Lord, keep walking. Keep struggling. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep tithing. Keep praying. Keep helping. Find someone to help. That's my thing. I don't care what I'm going through. I can find somebody to help. I'm a giver. It makes me feel so good inside when I can help somebody. So if I'm sick, I make sure I stop by a nursing home. Let me talk to somebody else and encourage them. Hallelujah. How many times by the time I walk out of there, I'm just on cloud 20. Because just the faces, to see the faces. I'm reading the Bible as I look at them. Their faces is the Word. I see God all over them. Hallelujah. Have you ever fed a mother and her children? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a blessing. So in the midst of your situation, whatever it may be, you said, I don't have finances. Do you have time? Do you just have time to call someone, to talk to someone, uplift someone, whatever it is that you have? If you've been in a situation where you've been raped, go out to the Rape Crisis Center. Talk to some of those young ladies, young men. At this day and time, there's so many young men out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give what you can. Do what you can. The Word. You will see God's face all over the Word. It's His pictures. It's His scrapbook.
Amen.
Put your name on those pages. Next to each Bible promise, visualize your name right there. Visualize Jesus talking directly to you. These promises is for you. He said, I promise this to you. This is my covenant that I want to do with you. This is my covenant with you. Hallelujah. The picture of you. The same hope. The same gift. Even the same salvation that is recorded in the Bible applies to you. They're yours. Reach out and take it. Don't give up your hope. Don't give up getting out of that bad situation. It's not over yet. There's still a way. God still has a place for you. I love the Lord, too, because just think about it, sisters and brothers. Even in the midst of a situation, you may be in the midst of a situation right now where you're being beat, your child has been molested, or you don't have anywhere to eat, nothing to eat, or nowhere to stay. Wherever you're at, you can still talk to God in your heart. You don't even have to move your lips. You don't have to move your lips, and you can still be in the deepest prayer with the Lord. He's always there. You can still invite Him into your life. You can still invite Him to come and take control where you're at right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel like someone is traveling right now away from their loved ones. They're leaving. They said, I'm leaving. Right now, you still have an opportunity is just confess, repent in your heart, whatever the situation is. Someone's heading to a hospital. Go ahead and pray right now. You don't have to wait till you see your loved one to start praying. God is with you right now. Right now. He's a right now God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to do a special prayer a little later on just for the ones who are confused right now. I feel confusion going on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can find all of this hope, all of this happiness, all of the gifts, all of the blessings, the covenant in the Word. In the Word. Salvation is in the Word. So you see, this scrapbook isn't just a keepsake. It's a living, dynamic, hopeful expectation of God's plans for the future. There's life in the Word. This is a living Word. There is life in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard the old saying that if you see somebody with a Bible that's all worn and the pages is all got the little dog ears and everything and it seems to be wrote all in and everything, so you see that people say, you know, it's just a mess. That Bible's raggedy. It's all torn up. You see a person with a Bible who's all torn up because they've just been in it so much. Usually their life is together. Their life is together. It's the opposite that you should worry about. When your word is, or I ask someone, if they ask them for prayer, and I ask them, they say, you know, I tried to read, and, well, where's your Bible at? Well, this one sister says, I think it's under my bed. Well, I don't know when it, well, I think it's over there, I think. But it's your word. Here's your life. This is the living word, the living proof. The enemy wants you to put it under your bed. The enemy wants you to put it out of sight. Because if he ever get a hold of this, this is the sword, which is the spirit of God's word. You're in the battle. How are you fighting a battle with no sword? And you're wondering why God is not moving. You're not moving. Hallelujah. He's waiting on you to move. You take one step, he'll take two. Hallelujah. Find your sword. Get your word. Hallelujah. The living, dynamic, hopeful expectation of God's plans for the future. We're going to look in Romans 15 and 4. Again, just to clarify and answer our question, if God's word is any more than just a bunch of good stories, Romans is New Testament, and we're going to chapter 15, verse 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Yeah, it is 4 that we want, right? Or is it gonna... No, it's 4. It is. Yeah. All right. So we're going to read just verse 4 by itself is the one that we want. Then we'll move over to Psalms and do that. So here we read, again, Romans 15, 4. Romans is New Testament, and it reads, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." So, sisters and brothers, when we are going through something, don't get so discouraged because you feel like nothing ever goes your way. The sinner man seems to get everything that they want. Nothing seems to go your way. Endure is the word that God has for us. Endurance. Encouragement of the Scriptures. Be encouraged when you're in the Word. Be encouraged when you're reading the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. For again, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. that we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God, you may glorify the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, that's Romans 15, verse 4 through 6. And I remind you, when we're going through the Word, remember this is a Bible study. This is for you to study. This is for you to get in, to dive in. Go further. Keep going. Taste and see that the Word is good. How do we taste it? We dive into it. We set up like we're hungry, because you got to be hungry for the Word. You want your situation to change. You got to be hungry. Did you want to make a difference? You want to get out of Lodabar bar. You want things for where you're at to make a shift, to change. And we're in a time and a season where things are shifting. Things are shifting. And don't get left behind. It is time out for playing. Things are shifting. We're in a season. Know your season that you're in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise. I grant him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Let's go back over into the New Old Testament. In the Tanakh, we're going to the book of Psalms 119. Again, it's Psalms 119. Excuse me. Psalms 119, and we're going to read, start at verse 9 and read through 18. God bless. 9 and read through 18. Ready? It says, "The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me," I do apologize, let me start back at 9. I'm already doing 18. Let's just go ahead and start at 8, verse 8. I love the whole chapter of this, but we're, for time's sake, going to stick to where we were. And here we go at verse 8. "I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living accordingly to your word. I seek you with all my heart, and do not let me stray from your command. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth, and I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches." You got to get excited. You got to really rejoice, just like you hit the lottery. You got to say, "God, teach me how to get that kind of joy." Well, ask, he will give. You have not because he asks not. Rejoice in him. Get that kind of rejoice out of it. He said, "I meditate on your precepts and concerns your ways, consider your ways, and I delight in your decrees. And I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How are we supposed to do it? Continue to endure. Have faith. How can it be done without you? It can't. We need you, Lord Jesus. Tell him, "I seek you with all my heart." And if you seek him with all your heart, then you can pray and say, "Do not let me stray from your command." But you can't be half doing it. You have got to be totally into it. You got to be willing to obey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to, that's when he will hide his word in you. In the midst of that situation, whatever is going on, that sickness, that sudden situation, his word is hidden inside of you. So his word will automatically just pour out. Hallelujah. Before you even think about it, you've already went into prayer. Before you even think about it, you've already started quoting your scriptures that are carry you through this healing or whatever the situation may be. Because if you don't have God's word hidden inside of you, I'm here to tell you, you will be somewhere all dressed up with two or three Bibles under your arm, if that's what you have, and a situation will come and stand in your presence, and what's in your heart will spill out through your mouth. And if it's not the word of God, then it is the word of the enemy, and you will stand there showing who you really are, what's really inside of you, who is really in control of you. So what you end up doing, besides looking ignorant, what you end up doing is you turn somebody else away from coming to the Lord because of the way that you're acting. Because they're babes and they don't understand that you don't control their destiny. You don't have a heaven and a hell to put them in. But we're supposed to let our light shine. That man and woman, girl and boy, are supposed to be able to see as an example how to handle the situation. They should be able to see. My daughter, her daughter, should be able to see how a true woman of God lives. How? Through me. Through me. If they choose not to follow it, that's on them. But the example I'm going to set. Hallelujah. My granddaughter should know how to be a true woman of God at whatever age, even at the age of 11. How? Through her mother. If her mother's not praying and doing the living a godly life, I don't care what she sees. She won't either. She won't either. You have got to be the one that set that example. So you've got to ask God to put that word, hide his word off in you. Invite him to live inside of you. Hallelujah. You don't want to be out there alone. You don't want to be out there naked. Be covered with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Teach me. Teach me your decrees. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17, it tells us that all scripture is given by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live right. Using the scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. Somebody needs to write that and put that on the walls of your job, in your home, put one in your car. Hallelujah. Look at all the things that we can get right from God's scrapbook. Let's just read it in another version. That is the good news. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And let's see if you can read it in your version. Let's see what you get from your version. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Second Timothy, we're going to do chapter 3, and again is verse 16 and 17. And Second Timothy is right before Titus, and the New Testament, of course, is right after First Timothy. Yes, right, you guessed it. And then we will, from First Timothy, you have the Thessalonians, so Colossians, then First Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, and then we're home, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Read. All right. Excuse me, I need a cough drop again. Satan is a liar. All right, starting at verse 16, and here we go, and it reads, all scripture is God-breathed. And is used for teaching. We don't like this next one. Rebuking. We don't like this one either. Correcting. We don't like to be rebuked. We don't like to be corrected. Let me live my life. If I want to go out with this married man, let me go. I know she's a loser, and I know she ain't going to be worth nothing, but she may change. I think I'll stick by her. I think she can change. I know everybody's telling me that this is not the one for me, but, you know, at least it's somebody. I think she can change. We don't like to be corrected. He said the scripture, all scripture, not just some, but all scripture, is for what? It's all for, so training in righteousness. We don't want to be trained in righteousness. I can't go over there and do what I want to do over there if I'm trained in righteousness. I can't go to the church because the pastor is cute if I'm trained in righteousness. I can't tell this woman what I really think about her if I'm trained in righteousness. Hallelujah. But the word says, but I can carry my Bible. I got the prettiest Bible in the church. Hallelujah. But I, on my job, I be the first one to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you think that they don't know your life, but they can see through you. Hallelujah. They can see through you. The enemy's going to make sure he showed him. You have no training, have no correction in your life. You don't want to be taught, and you don't want to be rebuked. But you say you love the Lord. You say that you're carrying around this word. You say you believe in the Bible. What part of the Bible do you believe in? No need of wasting your time if you're not going to believe in all of the word. From the beginning to the end. From the first word to the last word. Hallelujah. Again, you want to read it for yourself? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Again, verse 16. 17 says, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what the word is telling you, that he don't want you, he's trying to rebuke you, train you in righteousness now. He's trying to correct you. He's trying to direct you. He's trying to teach you the goodness and the things that you would need so that you will be thoroughly equipped for every good work in life. When he has you out here in life doing things, ministering to people, walking by, helping build the kingdom, he doesn't have time to stop and train you as you go, because now that you wanted to be in this position and you said, God, trust me, I think I've been called to preach. I think I've been called to teach. I think I'm the one to marry this man. I think I'm the one to get this job. And then you get it and you get in a situation and you don't have, what do you have hidden under your heart starts to pour out. And now you're stuck in a pickle. But God is trying to get you all of that out of you now before he places you in that job. That's why you haven't got it yet. The answer is not no, you can't have it. But he's waiting on you to surrender all so he can train you for that marriage, train you for that relationship, train you for that position. For if he allowed you to get in that position now, the world would destroy you. You would get a big head and you would never turn back. Then your kids and your kids' kids could end up going down the wrong road, hiding in caves. Uh-huh. Because of your life, because of your decisions. So he's trying to train you. He's trying to get, show you his goodness through his Bible, through his scrapbook. Hallelujah. So when your timing is right, hallelujah, that you may be equipped for the good work. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because remember, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, he said, I give you his charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct. Rebuke. Encourage. Now, that's something that a lot of us forget to do. We do the correcting. We do the rebuking. rebuking, but we forget to encourage. The word said we must also encourage. How can you tear a brother down and never build him back up? You got to encourage. Hallelujah. With great patience, be patient and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there for the time's sake. For time's sake. So let's just do a little revering real quick here. For God's scrapbook, day 5 of our 30-day Bible study. Again, the question was, have you ever wondered if God's word is any more than just a bunch of good stories? Hallelujah. And we found out that God's word is the promises with our face in it, the promises with our name on it, our hope. It's the things that equips us. So now we can personalize the messages of the Bible by applying it to us. We can look at the promises of the Bible and know that they're meant just for us. So which Bible promises will you claim for yourself today? Which Bible promises will you claim for yourself today? Hallelujah. For a more in-depth study, go ahead and read 2 Peter 1 and 20. 1 and 21, 20 and 21. 20 and 21. Also read Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. And then in our closing, please remember, the goals of these stories is not to help us look back with amazement so much, but to help us look forward with faith. Hallelujah. So the goal of the stories is not, as you read through the Bible and you read the different stories and the poems and the letters, it's not so much to help us look back with amazement or just be amazed at them, but however, to look forward with faith. If God did it for them back then, he's still doing it right now. Why isn't it happening to you? Why isn't it happening for you? It could be that you're in the wrong position. You're not in the right place. You haven't been corrected yet. You're not encouraged enough. You don't have enough courage to take on that task yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God who spoke then still speaks. Write that down. The God who spoke then still speaks. The God who forgave still forgives. Don't let man tell you that you cannot be forgiven, that what you have done is so wrong that you cannot be forgiven. The God who forgave is still forgiven. And the God who came, he's still coming again. And he still comes. He comes into our world. Invite him in. He comes into our life. Invite him in. Hallelujah. Do you know God today? Do you know Jesus personally for yourself? Just you and Jesus on a personal relationship. Have you taken that time to find him? Have you taken that time just to say, Jesus, I want this to be all about me and you? Hallelujah. If you haven't, let's just take a moment. It just takes a moment. Repeat these words and believe them in your heart. And the Bible says you shall be saved. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. And in the name, your name, the holy name of Jesus,
I pray.
All right, friends, if you just pray that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Congratulations. It's something like this is more than winning the lottery. Congratulations. Get excited. Get encouraged. Let me encourage you. You can write me. Send me an email. WalkWithMeGod@AOL.com. Leave a message here on the Blog Talk Radio. Evangelist Von Dumas. I will get in touch with you. Let me send you out a Bible. You need Bible tracts. You need some encouraging scriptures. If you're sick in your body, you need some scriptures to put by your bedside. What do you need? You need to get in touch with a church home that's in your city and state. Let me pray with you. I enjoy getting involved. Let's find and see what God reveals in your city and state for you. Hallelujah. I remind you, if you need prayer, 24 hours a day, you can call the Women Empowers Network. The number is 218-339-4300. The code is 360-777-POUND. Hallelujah. Women in power, men in power, teen in power, taking control. The thing is, God has somebody always there in your corner. You don't even have to say anything. You can just call the line and just be there and feel the presence of the Lord. You can give your prayer request. You can give a praise request, report, whatever it is that you feel like that God wants you to do. But just know that God has somebody there for you. And we remind you, don't let it go by too long. Because you never know what the situation is. You know, he died for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. God bless you. We love you. If there's no other prayer request, we say thank you until the next time. And we will be doing day 6 of our study. Hallelujah. We'll see you again. God bless you. Our day 6. It's coming up. And there's no appointment necessary. No appointment necessary to be in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Don't forget to raise